Our gospel reading today is from the Gospel of John, chapter 11, verses 32-44, if you'd like to follow along. When Mary, the sister of Martha and Lazarus, came where Jesus was and saw him, she knelt at his feet and said to him, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who came with her also weeping, he was greatly disturbed in spirit and deeply moved. He said, "Where have you laid him?" They said to him, "Lord, come and see." Jesus began to weep, and the Jews said, "See how he loved him." But some of them said, "Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying?" Then Jesus, again greatly disturbed, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone was lying against it. Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, "Lord, already there is a stench, because he has been dead for 4 days." Jesus said to her, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone. And Jesus looked upward and said, "Father, I thank you for having heard me. I know that you always hear me, but I have said this for the sake of the crowd standing here, so that they may believe that you sent me." When he said this, he cried with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." And the dead man came out, his hands and feet bound with strips of cloth, and his face wrapped in a cloth. Jesus said to them, "Unbind him and let them go." This is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God. You can be seated. Grace and peace to you all today in the name of God the Father and the Son, Jesus Christ, the giver of life. We have here today an opportunity to remember the saints who have gone before us. Here on this table, we placed reminders of them, and these are precious, these memories that we have. I encourage you to ask someone today about who it is they are remembering and why they were important to them and what the object that they brought signifies. There's a lot of really interesting things up here that I would like to know more about. I happen to be thinking a lot just lately about my dad. Last Saturday marked the 16th anniversary of the year that he died, and I miss him still. That doesn't go away, I don't think. I brought with me my parents had grandparent photo albums that went to their parents on their wedding day, and I brought one of those with me today. And I love looking at those pictures because it reminds me that my parents were once a young couple, madly in love with each other before my brother and I came along and crashed that party for them. But I also love that those pictures are in the church that I grew up in, the church I was baptized in and confirmed in and had Sunday school and piano recitals and lock-ins, so I knew all the nooks and crannies that I probably ought not to have known about, but I did. I love looking at those pictures and remembering that part of my life too. A picture that I did not bring with me, but one that is so dear to me, was also in that same church. And it happened to be on my wedding day there, and I was standing at the back of the church with my dad, ready to walk down the aisle, and I have my arm in his arm, and he is clearly speaking to me in this picture. And I am looking up at him, and I'm listening to him, and he's saying to me, "Laura, are you sure you want to do this? I'll get you out of here right now if you don't want to do this." He truly did. And so then my face is like, this is what the photographer captures. And it's such a funny thing, but I thought, boy, he might have been onto something. I don't know. So if you happen to know anything about my husband, I have married a wonderful man that is a lot like my dad. My dad was kind and smart and generous. He loved to have his nose in a history book, and I can tell you a million good things about him. I remember him like he was here yesterday, and I think that's a good, nice thing that we can do, that we can remember with good memories, those people we loved. Today we heard a rich gospel message. In it we get immersed in the sorrow and the grief of these two sisters who have lost their dear brother. Lazarus is dead. They are immersed in a community who are grieving with them. And we get to see Jesus in one of the great gospel stories in which he truly encompasses his compassionate, loving humanity along with his divine, almighty power and glory as the Son of God. I invite you to listen now as I go back just a little bit in Scripture in the same chapter of John's gospel, because there's some really important details that we didn't get to hear in our gospel reading today. At the beginning of this chapter, we found out that Lazarus is ill, and his sisters, Mary and Martha, have sent word to Jesus about this. Now, Jesus loved Lazarus as well as Mary and Martha, but he did not rush to Lazarus' side when he heard this news. As a matter of fact, Jesus even says in verse 4, this doesn't lead to death, but it's for God's glory. Jesus actually stayed right where he was for 2 more days. Now, Jesus was not being insensitive to his friends, these people that he loved, but instead, Jesus had a deep understanding that this family's drama was bigger than just this family. It indeed belonged to a larger story, which is our story, which is the whole big picture Bible story. So after 2 days, Jesus finally told his disciples that indeed he did want to go to Lazarus, who happened to be in Bethany in Judea, where people had recently tried to stone Jesus to death. The disciples warned Jesus, you know, it's not such a good idea to go back there. But Jesus was insistent. And in verse 11, he told his disciples that Lazarus has fallen asleep, and I'm going there to awaken him. The disciples, again, not thrilled with the idea to go where there was danger afoot, I don't blame them, I gotta say, told Jesus, well, if he's just asleep, then isn't everything gonna be all right? That's all right. Now, Jesus had to just lay it out there for him because the disciples didn't always catch on very quickly to what Jesus had going on. Lazarus is dead, he said. I am glad for your sake that I was not there so that you may believe. Then off this group went to Bethany. By the time Jesus arrived on the scene, Lazarus had been dead for 4 days. Martha and Mary, so very human, so very normal, were full of sorrow and grief as they were surrounded by Jewish friends who were just there to be with them, who were there to grieve with them and mourn with them. And when Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she ran out to meet him, and she spoke to him so boldly and so confidently. In verse 21, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now, I know that God will give you whatever you ask him, she said to Jesus. Have you been angry with God when something didn't go the way that you had hoped? And were you bold enough to come before God and say it out loud? Jesus responded so graciously to Martha, simply telling her that her brother would rise again. Yeah, whatever, on the last day, Jesus, I know all that. But you know what? I'm telling you, Jesus, death stinks. This stinks. Now, Jesus responded to Martha with one of the greatest I am statements. I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, will live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? That's verses 25 and 26. Listen to those important words again. Jesus was speaking both of the present and of the future at the same time. I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, will live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? Yes, Martha responded. Yes. Martha then went back to her sister Mary to tell her that Jesus had arrived. And here's where we picked up today. Mary quickly got up and she ran out to him, ran to where he was. And she had a trail of friends following her as she did this. They were thinking she's going back to the grave to weep, and they wanted to be with her and comfort her there. But when Mary arrived at Jesus, she fell at his feet. The original Greek language makes it a lot more dramatic than what we have in our translation. It was stronger there. She was desperate, falling and weeping at his feet with much of the same wording and response that her sister Martha had had. If only you had been here, he would not have died. If only it could have been different. If only. At this point in the story, surrounded by these grieving, sorrow-filled people that Jesus loves, Jesus, too, begins to weep. He is greatly disturbed in his spirit. He is deeply moved by what's happening around him. Jesus, fully human, knows what grief feels like, and it stinks. His emotion surely was generated purely by his love and his compassion for these people. At this point, Jesus ordered the stone to be rolled away from the tomb, much to the surprise of Martha, who was worried about the stench of it all. Lazarus had indeed been dead for 4 days. But Jesus was not worried about the stench. He was focused only on the glory of God. Jesus prayed for the sake of the crowd that they would believe that God had sent him and that he did have the very power to defy death. In a loud voice, Jesus called Lazarus by his name, and Lazarus came out of the tomb, still covered in the grave cloths. And then Jesus invited the community into this miracle by saying, "Unbind him now and let him go." While death and the sorrow that accompanies it have the power to sometimes overshadow everything in our lives, Christ, who rose from the dead into new life, promises us that death will not have the last word. The victory that Jesus promised over death through his own resurrection is available, as Jesus said, not only in the future, but now. Through our faith, itself a gift from God, death loses its power and life gains new power. Through the waters of holy baptism, we are joined into eternal life, into Jesus' death and into Jesus' resurrection. In the book of Romans, chapter 5, Paul writes for us, "Do you not know that all those who have been baptized in Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore, we have been buried with him by baptism into death, so that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the power of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life." From what Jesus said and from what Paul affirms, we who are baptized are the ones who have been promised eternal life, which starts here and now. The kingdom of God is at hand. Theologian David Lowe tells us two things about this. One, death does not terrify us. Why? Because of the promise of resurrection. We can look death in the eye and not even blink, he says. When we mourn the death of our loved ones, we can also celebrate their victory, as now they are able to rest from their labor and live in the glory of Christ. Number two, life doesn't terrify us either. In that in our baptism, we are made holy and set apart. We are given purpose for our life. And it is here at the font of baptism, in those holy waters and God's word, that God promises to free us from sin, to give us new life. God calls us by name, child of God. Here we are sealed with the Holy Spirit. We are marked with the cross of Christ forever. Indeed, we the baptized are all the saints of God, holy ones set apart for the glory of God, holy ones set apart to do the work of God in this world, forgiven ones of God. God promises to be with always through our living now and through our physical dying, which is an interruption, a blip on the screen of eternal life. and on even further to our eternal life, our new life, when we will be joined with the faithful who have gone before us. While it can certainly be a terribly difficult thing for us when someone we love dies, we can be comforted in knowing that these promises are for us. Jesus did not promise ease in this life, but Jesus did promise life, and life abundant at that. This abundant life, we can say with confidence in faith, is now. And this life is only a foretaste of the feast to come. And now, may you have the peace of God with you on this day as you remember those saints who you have loved. Amen.